This is Movies for the Blind, episode 293, Salt of the Earth, part 1 of 3.
What have you been doing all day? Reading funny papers?
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're starting a film that was made against all odds. The U.S. Congress denounced it. The FBI investigated it. The American Legion called for boycotts. Vigilantes fired warning shots around the set. A small airplane often flew overhead to disturb filming with its noise. Its star was deported. And a citizens committee told the production company to, quote, get out of town or go out in black boxes. Why did all of this happen? What did they think was so dangerous? Let's start trying to figure it out. From 1954, this is Salt of the Earth. A woman chops wood. Independent Productions Corporation and the International Union of Mine, Mill, and Smelter Workers present Salt of the Earth by Michael Wilson. The woman puts the wood on a fire under a large steaming metal tub. With Rosara Revueltas and Juan Chacon. A little girl sits nearby. The woman lifts a full basket onto a stump. Staff executives, Sonia Dahl, Adolfo Barella. Music by Saul Kaplan. She lifts the tub from the fire. Produced by Paul Jericho. The girl follows her as she carries the tub along rocky terrain. Directed by Herbert J. Biberman. She gets a washboard. Our scene is New Mexico, land of the free Americans who inspired this film, home of the brave Americans who played most of its roles. The woman washes laundry with the washboard in the tub. A tower marks the center of a mining complex.
How shall I begin my story that has no beginning?
Small trees grow along a river.
In these arroyos, my great-grandfather raised cattle before the Anglos ever came.
A family walks to a church.
Our roots go deep in this place. Deeper than the pines. Deeper than the mine shafts.
Small houses stand near railroad tracks.
This is my village. When I was a child, it was called San Marcos. The Anglos changed the name to Zinktown. Zinktown, New Mexico, USA.
Smaller houses stand in rows.
This is our home. The house is not ours, but the flowers.
Along the porch.
The flowers are ours.
The girl crouches down to them.
My name is Esperanza. Esperanza Quintero.
She hangs laundry on a line beside their house.
I am a miner's wife. 18 years my husband has given to that mine, living half his life with dynamite and darkness. The land where the mine now stands, that was owned by my husband's own grandfather, now it belongs to the company.
A sign says Delaware Zinc Incorporated.
Who can say when it began, my story?
She irons inside.
I do not know.
The girl enters.
But this day I remember as the beginning of an end. It was my saint's day.
The girl offers a flower.
I was 35 years old.
It's accepted.
A day of celebration.
Esperanza sets the iron aside.
I was 7 months gone with my third child.
She puts the little flower in the girl's hair behind one ear, caressing her cheeks. The girl steps away.
And on that day I remember I had a wish. A thought so sinful, a thought so evil, that I pray to the Virgin to forgive me for it.
Esperanza hurries to a picture of the Virgin Mary.
I wished that my child would never be born.
She holds her head in her hands.
Not into this world.
The girl returns to her and tugs her skirt.
Are you sick, Mama?
Esperanza uncovers her face and looks down.
No, Estelita.
Are you sad?
She looks at the Virgin.
Are we going to church for your confession?
Later.
A boy walks in.
When I finish iron.
He drinks water with his back to her.
Fighting again. With those Anglo kids.
Oh, they think they're tough.
But you promised me you wouldn't.
Papa says if an Anglo makes funny, you let him have it.
Never mind what you, Papa. Hold still.
Turning him to face her, she gets a cloth to clean blood from the corner of his mouth.
Does it hurt?
Nah. How come the cake?
Never mind the cake. Go get your father when he comes off shift. Tell him to come straight home.
He walks away and leaves. In a mine tunnel, fuses are lit. Wearing a miner's lamp helmet, Esperanza's husband lights them. A fuse ignites too fast, and he dives for cover. Later, outside the mine, he leads several miners, mostly Latino, toward a white man who walks to meet them.
You had a little trouble, Quintero. Defective fuse?
Well, you're all in one piece, so what's the beef?
You know the beef. This new rule of yours that we work alone. We're taking it up with the super.
Super's busy with your negotiating committee.
So much the better.
Now, wait a minute. Super's the one made the rule. He ain't gonna give you no help.
He will if he wants us to go on blasting.
Read your contract. We'll get somebody to read it for you. It don't say nothing about no helper.
Listen, Mr. Barton, there's blood in that mine. The blood of my friends, all because they had to work alone.
That's how he gets splattered over the rocks, when there's nobody help to check your fuse.
And nobody to warn the other men to stay clear.
Warning's a ship foreman's job.
Foreman wants to get the ore out. Miner wants to get his brothers out, in one piece.
You work alone, savvy? You can't handle a job, I'll find someone who can.
Who, a scab?
An American.
Smirking, the foreman walks away. With the sun watching, Quintero considers. Later at home, Estella takes a dinner plate to the sink counter beside a white cake.
Mama.
Shh. Not a word about the cake here.
She goes to her father at a table with his son and climbs into the father's lap while her mother pours coffee.
Papa, is there going to be a strike?
Esperanza sets down her husband's cup.
Ramon.
And he drinks.
I don't like to bother you, but the store lady said that if we don't make another payment on the ready this month, they'll come and take it away. We are only one payment behind. I argued with her. It isn't right.
It isn't right, she says. Was it right that we bought this?
He nods to a radio.
Instrument? But you had to have it, didn't you? It was so nice to listen to.
I listen to it every night when you're out at the beer parlor.
Ramon stands.
No money down. Easy term payment. I tell you something. This installment plan, it's a curse of the working man.
He puts the cup on the radio's wooden cabinet and stalks off. Esperanza picks up the cup and wipes the cabinet with a cloth. Ramon gets a bowl of water, sets it on a counter, and rolls up his sleeves. Esperanza turns to him.
Where are you going?
Gotta talk to the brothers.
She picks up the cake and puts it up on a shelf. He puts his hands in the water.
This water's cold again.
Oh. He washes his face.
I'm sorry, the fire's gone out.
Forget it.
Forget it? I chop wood for the stove 5 times a day, every time I remember. I remember that across the cracks, the Anglo miners had hot water in pipes, in bathrooms, inside.
Do you think I like living this way? What do you want of it?
She pours water from a larger basin.
But if your union... If you're asking for better conditions, why can't you ask for decent plumbing, too?
We did. Got lost in the shuffle.
What?
We can't get everything at once. Right now, we have more important demands.
What's more important than sanitation?
He blinks back wash water, reaching for a towel.
Safety of the men. That's more important.
He finds one.
5 accidents this week. All because of speed up. You're a woman. You don't know what it's like up there.
She turns away as he dries off.
First, we gotta get equality on the job. Then we'll work on these other things. Give it to the men.
I see. The men. Your strike may be for your demands. But what wives want, that comes later. Always later.
Now, don't you start talking against the union again.
What has it got me? Your union.
Esperanza, have you forgotten what it was like before the union came? When Estella was a baby and we couldn't even afford a doctor when she was sick? It was for our families we met in graveyards to build that union.
All right, have your strike. I'll have my baby. But no hospital will take me because I'll be a striker's wife. store will cut off our credit and the kids will go hungry. We'll get behind on the payments again. And then they'll come and take away their radio.
Is that all you care about? That radio? Can't you think of anything except yourself?
If I think of myself, it's because you never think of me. Never, never.
Stop it. The children are watching. Stop it.
As Ramon leaves, his son stands and watches sadly. Later, records play in a jukebox.
The company will always tell you those things. We know it's not safe for miners to work alone.
But they don't work alone in other mines. Anglos always work in pairs. So why should I risk my life? Because I'm a Mexican?
That's in the demands.
We're negotiating.
3 months of negotiations. Nothing happens.
His son enters.
Even with Brother Barnes here from the International, what have we got?
No raise. No seniority. No safety code. Nothing.
Take a drink. Calmate.
I say we gotta take action. Now.
The rest of men feel the way you do?
He talked for all of us.
Did you ever stop to think maybe they want us to strike?
They don't want no strike. Not with their war boom on.
Then why is the company hanging tough? They signed contracts with the other locals. Why not this one?
Because most of us here are Mexican-American. Because we want equality with Anglo miners. The same pay, same conditions.
Exactly. Inequality's the one thing the bosses can't afford. The biggest club they have over the Anglo locals is, well, at least you get more than the Mexicans.
Okay, so discrimination hurts the Anglo too. But it hurts me more. And I've had enough of it.
But you don't pull a strike when the bosses want it, so they can smash your union. You wait till you're ready so you can win.
Do the bosses wait? No sanitation. So my kids get sick. Does the company doctor wait? $20. So we miss one payment on the radio I bought for my wife. The company store wait? They'll be taken away. Why is the boss's store in such a hurry? They're trying to scare us, that's why. To make us afraid to move. To hang on to what we got and like it. Well, I don't like it. And I'm not scared. And I'm fed up to hear.
Hey, Ramon, te buscan.
He turns to see his son and goes to him.
What are you doing here? Something wrong with Mama?
I thought maybe you forgot.
Forgot what?
It's Mama Saint's Day.
Scratching his head, he goes back to his brothers.
He can't wait. It's my wife's ain't stay. I was going to ask you, brothers, how about a mañanita, huh?
What time?
Well, mañanita, the later the better.
Later, more than a dozen people stand singing outside the Quintero house. In bed, Esperanza's eyes open, and she smiles. Next to her bed is Estella in an old crib.
Why are they singing?
Esperanza reaches for her daughter.
They are singing for me.
Can we light the candle?
Yes. Now we can light the candle.
Estella sits up, and her mother keeps smiling, then sits up herself. Soon she's in the open front doorway in a robe, watching everyone sing to her. They all head inside. A man carries a case of beer to the kitchen table while women hug Esperanza.
Happy birthday!
He opens bottles and sets them out. As the women start passing the beer bottles around, Ramon makes his way through the crowd, smiling. He speaks to Esperanza, who steps away. He follows, while their guests toast and drink. In the bedroom, she takes off the robe. Stepping behind her, he turns her gently toward him.
I did not mean to weep again. Why should I weep for joy?
I'm a fool.
No, you aren't.
She rests her head on his shoulder.
Was it expensive, the beer?
Antonio paid for it.
Forgive me for saying you never thought of me.
I did forget. Luis told me.
He holds her. Then they gaze at each other. They embrace again. Later.
All the next week I kept thinking about my mañanita. I had never had so nice a party. It was like a song running through my mind. A daydream to lighten the long day's work.
She remembers.
1, 2, 3.
She and Estella blow out candles on the cake. Standing at her washboard outside, she smiles at the memory.
We all forgot our troubles at the mañanita. Even Ramon.
She remembers him dancing.
I couldn't dance that night. Not in my condition. But I wasn't really jealous when he danced with the others. Because it was so good just to see him smile again.
She and a neighbor hang up laundry.
And then one morning I was hanging out my wash.
Estella and a neighbor boy play.
And while we were talking, the ladies came. They were a kind of delegation.
Three women visit.
It was about the sanitation, they said. The Anglo miners have bathrooms and hot running water. Why shouldn't we?
Los mineros anglos todos tienen agua caliente corriendo en sus casas. ¿Por qué nosotros no?
I know. I spoke to Ramon about it. Only a week ago. He said they dropped it from the union demand.
Es lo de siempre.
We've got to make him understand. Make the man face up to it. Show her the sign.
It says, we want sanitation, not discrimination.
Please, then we'll get all the wives together and go right up to the mine.
To the mine?
Sure, for they're negotiating and the company offers, we'll go up there and picket the place.
Then both sides will see we mean business.
A picket line of ladies?
Sure, why not? You can count me in.
Luz.
Listen, we ought to be in a wood chopper's union. Chop wood for breakfast, chop wood, wash his clothes, chop wood, heat the iron, chop wood, scrub floors, chop wood, cook his dinner. And do you know what he will say when he comes home? What have you been doing all day? Reading funny papers?
One of the women smiles.
Come on, Esperanza. How about it? We got to.
No, no. I can't. If Ramon ever found me in a picket line...
He'd what, beat you?
No. No.
All the women turn toward the mine some distance away. Esperanza turns to the others with fear.
Accidente.
They all run. Luz takes her son. Esperanza hurries to Estella and carries her along. Other women and children run from their houses. And one woman crosses herself on her porch. An ambulance speeds on a dirt road toward the mine. Workers gather around a shaft entrance while foremen leave their offices. The last to leave wears a suit. The ambulance kicks up dust which obscures the women running to the men. Esperanza holds Estella's hand as they hurry together. The women rush on along the road, past the rocks and scrub, until they approach the mine. Esperanza picks up Estella again, but must put her down to move faster. The women stop on a ridge, looking down. Dozens of women and children watch and wait. A worker appears at the top of the shaft carried by two other men. It's a white man carried out. On the ridge, a white woman runs down.
It's Mr. Kalinsky.
The crowd leaves space for the two men to lower him. Blankets are moved. And soon, Polinsky is carried on a stretcher to the ambulance, where he's placed in the back. The back door is closed as Mrs. Polinsky runs up. She reaches for the door, but is held back as the ambulance pulls away. She breaks away and runs after it. Watching it go, the one foreman and the man in the suit step in front of the workers.
How did this happen? They wandered into a drift when that fellow was blasted.
I told you it would happen. It's bound to happen when a man works alone.
Why did you give the man a warning signal?
Your foreman says that's a foreman's job.
Well, I checked the drift just before he blasted. It was all clear. The man must have been asleep or something.
You weren't even there. You were back at the station. Kalinsky told me.
You're a liar, Pancho. A no-good, dirty...
Ramon lunges at him, but he's pushed back into the arms of his brothers, who restrain him.
Ramon, get me!
You there! Get a hold on yourself. A man's been hurt. I'm as sorry about it as you are, savvy? Accidents are costly to everyone. To the company, most of all. I see no reason to treat the occasion like a paid holiday. Suppose we all get back to work.
The man in the suit turns to go, but notices no worker is moving.
Button?
All right, fellas, the excitement's over. Let's get to it.
They just stand there.
Ahora, yo creo. Sí. Sí.
What are they saying?
No savvy.
Barnes, what about it? Tell the man to get back to work.
They don't work for me. I work for them.
Luis.
Luis looks around, reaching into his shirt pocket. Glancing at the man in the suit, he takes out a cigarette and lights it.
It's up to you, brothers.
Si.
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 Si. Si.
Ramon runs away from the crowd to a doorway.
Help me!
The worker he calls to hurries off. A hand reaches for a lever and pulls it down, stopping machinery moving the zinc. Gears and conveyors grind to a halt. The crowd of workers, white and Mexican-American, keep their ground. Ramon returns to them. Luis and the others look up toward the ridge, where the women stand and the sign goes up. We want sanitation, not discrimination. A couple men smile. Management looks up at the crowd of women on the ridge with their one sign. Later, someone with a gun belt has his boot on the back bumper of a car. He's waiting outside a building.
That night, the men held a union meeting just to make the walkout official.
He backs up when two boys run out.
It didn't take them long.
He steps away.
They voted to strike 93-5.
Women get out of a car the boys get into.
Now was it time for us to go in. I didn't want to. I had never been to a union meeting. But the others said, one go, all go.
In the meeting.
Tenemos varios agravios, hermanos, y muchas demandas. Pero todo esto se puede traer a un punto básico, la igualdad.
The meeting was nearly over when we came in. Charlie Vidal was making a speech. He said there was only one issue in this strike, equality. But the mine owners would stop at nothing to keep them from getting equality.
Esperanza and three other women sit off to the side.
He said the bosses would try to split the Anglo and Mexican-American workers and offer rewards to one man if he would sell out his brother.
Hermanos, solamente hay una defensa contra de esta táctica. Y esto es unidad. La unidad de todos los hombres trabajadores.
Charlie steps down from the stage. Luz nudges a woman holding a baby, who she takes from her arms. The woman stands. Sitting at a table on the stage, Luis stands.
Yes, you ladies have an announcement?
All the men turn to her.
Yes, not an announcement, I guess. Only the ladies wanted me to...
Daughter! Consuelo, will you speak from over here?
As Consuelo makes her way around the hall, Ramon notices Esperanza with the other women, then turns away toward the front again. Luis points where Consuelo can stand, and she does as he sits.
The ladies have been talking about sanitation.
She keeps glancing down.
And we were thinking if the issue is equality, like you say it is, then maybe we ought to have equality in plumbing, too. I mean, maybe we could make it a strike demand. Some of the ladies thought it might be a good idea to have a ladies' auxiliary. Well, we'd like to help out if we can.
She returns to the side with the other women. Ramon turns to watch. Consuelo gets her baby back and sits. Luis stands.
I think I can speak for all the brothers in saying we appreciate the ladies offering to help. But it's getting late, and I suggest that we table it. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
All those in favor?
The men's hands go up.
Opposed. So ordered.
Louis sits. And the men in the audience get out of their seats, making their way to the doors. The women go in the other direction. Luce goes to the blonde white brother and turns him to face her.
Why didn't you support her? You're the worst of the lot.
But Teresa, you can't push these things too fast.
You were pushing us right back in our place.
Why didn't you check this thing with me? It's embarrassing.
Outside.
You didn't make a fool of yourself like Gonzalo.
It's not a bad idea.
In line to go.
To make sanitation one of our demands.
But honey.
Or why don't you just put a sign outside? No dogs, no women allowed.
Luce walks away. Later, the Delaware Zinc sign remains on a wooden frame going over a road. Another sign leaning on the frame says, "We want equality with other miners." Off to the side is a gently sloping valley, dotted with short trees and brush. A little way before the signs, a couple dozen striking miners walk in a circle across the road. One walks with crutches. And some of them carry signs which say things like, "The union is our leader, and we want equality."
And so it began, much like any other strike. There would be no settlement, the company said, till the men returned to their jobs. But the back-to-work movement didn't work.
A truck pulls up to the circle.
And so the company recruited a few strike breakers from out of town.
Supervising, Ramon looks at the few men in the back of the truck.
But they usually lost their nerve when they saw the size of the picket line.
The truck turns around and heads off. To the side.
The sheriff's men were always there.
A couple of them grinning.
They stood around showing off their weapons. But the men only marched. Day after day. Week after week. At first, it was an unwritten rule that the women stay at home. The union gave us rations, and we had to figure out how to feed our families on them. But then one morning, Mrs. Salazar went to the picket line. Her husband had been killed in a strike many years before, and she wanted to be there.
She stands by, knitting.
Nobody remembers just how it happened, but one day Mrs. Salazar started marching with them, and she kept on marching with them.
And knitting. Charlie gets coffee from his wife in a car.
After a while, some of the women began to bring coffee for their husbands, and maybe a couple of tacos, because a man gets tired and hungry on picket duty.
Later, men build a structure with wood.
It was about that time that the union decided maybe they'd better set up a ladies' auxiliary after all.
Some women serve drinks from a counter.
I didn't come to the lines at first. My time was near, and besides, Ramon didn't approve.
A shack for coffee is finished.
But Ramon is a man who loves good coffee. And he swore that the other ladies made it taste like zinc sludge.
He drinks and grimaces, then dumps out his cup.
So one day, I made the coffee.
He drinks and smiles as she peeks out from the shack. He turns to her standing with Estella and smiling. The march goes on with signs saying, "We shall not be moved," and "Helpers for miners." Keep walking in a circle in the sun. Ramon meets with brothers nearby.
Prieto, Sebastian Prieto. Haven't seen him for 3 days now.
Hey, Ramon, listen to this. Chief Foreman come to me last night, said he'd make a shift foreman out of me if I start back to work movement. Jenkins, why string along with him tamales? I just said I come like tamales fine.
The two white brothers step away, one of them with the crutches. Two other brothers approach Ramon.
Two scabs got through on the other side of the hill. We chased the rest back.
Recognize them?
Anglos from out of town. But they're not miners, I could tell that. They don't know Zeke from Chinola.
Okay, take five. Get yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, Ramon, here comes the super.
They turn from lookouts on the ridge to the road, where a car approaches. It goes around a curve as everyone watches. Driving past a couple stopped cars, it pulls up to the sheriff, who leans into the open window. All are white.
Morning.
How's it going?
Well, those new fellas you hired from out of town, we brought them up here by truck this morning. They took one look at that picket line. turn tail.
They don't look so rough to me.
Well, Mr. Hartwell, they've got some pretty tough hombres there. Especially that picket captain. What's his name? Ray? Raymond something or other.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
Putting a pipe back in his mouth, the driver moves the car closer to the line. He stops.
That's their main picket line. They have another post on the back road. The roving patrols all over the place.
On company property? Why don't you have them thrown off?
It's all company property, Mr. Hartwell. The store, the housing area, everything. Where are you going to throw them? And who does the throwing?
Well, are they going to let us pass?
Eventually. This is just a little ritual to impress us with their power.
Now, why don't you let this gentleman pass? Don't you know who's in that car?
It's the paymaster from Moscow with our gold.
No, no. It's the president of the company himself. Come all the way out here to make Jenkins general manager. So why are you acting for me?
Childish.
Well, they're like children in many ways. Sometimes you have to humor them. Sometimes you have to spank them. And sometimes you have to take their food away. Well, here comes the one that we're talking about. He's quite a character. Claims his grandfather once owned the land where the mine is now.
Ramon looks in.
Want to go up to your office, Mr. Alexander?
Naturally. You think I parked here for a cup of coffee?
You're welcome to one.
No, thanks.
The men would like to know who this gentleman is.
That's none of their affair.
It's all right. It's no secret. My name's Hartwell. I'm from the company's eastern office.
You mean Delaware?
No, New York.
New York? You're not the company president by any chance?
No.
Too bad. The men have always wanted to take a look at the president. But you come out here to settle the strike.
Well, if that's possible.
It's possible. Just negotiate.
Are we talking to a union spokesman?
Well, not exactly. But I wish he were one. He knows more about mining than those pie cards we've had to deal with. I mean it. I know your work record. You were in line for foreman when this trouble started. Did you know that? Yes, sir, you had a real future with this company. But they let those Reds stir you up, and now they'll sell you down the river. Why don't you wake up, Ray? Huh?
That's your name, isn't it, Ray?
My name is Quintero. Mr. Quintero.
Are you going to let us pass, or do I have to call the sheriff?
The line is made way.
There's nothing stopping you.
Alexander drives between two orderly lines of strikers.
I was wrong. They don't want Jenkins for general manager. They want me.
Esperanza smiles. Ramon goes to her.
You should have heard that fellow. What a line. I was up for a foreman, he says. Fíjate.
She grimaces in pain.
What's the matter?
It's nothing. Just a little cut.
Papa! Papa! Over here!
Is that Luis? What is he doing? Playing hooky again?
He hurries to a ridge to call down to his son and a white boy.
Luis! Come back here!
Papa, we seen the two scabs over there! They're hiding over there in the gully!
He runs that way, and so do the boys. So, will they be able to catch the scabs and keep away others? Will the men come around to recognizing the women's worth beyond coffee and tacos? And will Esperanza's pregnancy survive under the pressure? Much more to come in part 2 of 3 of Salt of the Earth, next time on Movies for the Blind. The strike in the film is based on a real strike at a zinc mine, which happened around the same location a couple years earlier. Our male lead, Juan Chacon, playing Ramon, was actually involved in that strike, as was Clinton Jenks, who's playing the white union rep Barnes. Both of them and others in the movie could attest to the real unequal treatment of Mexican-American miners, and writer Michael Wilson made a point to keep communicating with the people involved to make sure he was getting things right in the script. So have you figured out yet why so many people were against this film and were trying to keep it from being made? A hint might be in the year of its production, and I did have some suggestions last week, but I'll give you more details next time. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. We're now happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say nice things. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.